Welcome to the Needle's Eye Faith and Work Show, a show that aims to help Christian professionals grow in Christ, find your purpose, and transform your workplace. I'm Jeremy Woltz with Needle's Eye, and I'm sitting down with working men and women to find out how their faith impacts their work. Today, I'm joined by Tony Wilson, retired, experienced, and still making a difference. Tony, we'll hop right in and get started.
That's fine.
So let me just say, Tony, I'm very grateful for you. I know that this is not an easy drive down the road for you. You have to kind of plan your days to get here.
Well, it's fine. So I'm used to it.
Yeah. Well, I just want to say thank you for carving out time and giving me some of it to sit here and to talk.
Right.
And just because this is a Faith and Work podcast, right? We talk a lot about how faith impacts the workplace. Mm-hmm. You're a little bit of a unique case because you are officially the first ever non-working professional we've had on the show. You've been retired for a little bit.
Yeah.
So can you do me you say 10 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You just don't look old enough to be retired for 14. 10 years. You must have retired at 35.
Not quite.
Okay.
Not quite. No.
Well, can you do me a huge favor and just very quickly give us an overview of your career and then what your life looks like now?
Well, I've been in sales most of my life. Probably 30 years, something like that. I worked for different companies, but mainly sales and marketing. I graduated from VCU, or RPI.
Wow.
Does that date me or what? In advertising. And I've just always been in that area of sales and marketing or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that covered. And I retired in 14.
Okay.
At 72. That was,
wow.
So I had to work.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, when you were mentioning about my experience, one of the things that I'd like to share is just the fact that I wish when I was working that I had the faith that I have now.
Yeah.
That would have helped immensely. I can't even begin to tell you how much that would have helped. But one of the things when I was going through some job situations.
Yeah.
Where I depended on God like I had never done before, and it really, really made a difference.
Yeah.
That's something.
Yeah, I'd love to hear a little more about that. And honestly, that's truthfully, and I mean this in the most genuine way I can put it, one of the best things about having someone with as much experience and hindsight and perspective as you here to talk about this is you have a perspective of what I wish I would have had when.
Yeah.
Right. So many of the people we talk to, they're in the middle of it.
Right.
And so they're kind of looking at what's right in front of them.
Yeah.
You're looking back a little bit. And so two reasons. Right? One is you're looking back over a career and saying, man, if only I'd had God when I was facing this thing.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of wisdom from that. And you still have a future ahead of you. It just looks a little bit different than when you were a full-time career person.
Right. Sure.
And so you still have the sense of God didn't stop mattering when I retired, and I didn't stop mattering to God when I retired. He's still working through me. There's still a future to go. And I think those two perspectives are rich, and there's a lot to offer.
Okay.
So for real, I'm just very excited that you're here to kind of share some of that.
Yeah.
You may not think you have much wisdom to share, but I promise God is going to speak through you.
Wisdom wouldn't have been my first choice of descriptions, but
wisdom, but nonsense,
experience. Yeah, we'll wisdom. I'm not too sure.
Yeah, there you go. You're very experienced.
Yeah,
there you go.
I could use more wisdom.
So you said you retired at 72 in 2014.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm going to be honest. I would have guessed you were 72 now. I never would have thought that was almost a full 10 years ago.
Yeah.
That's remarkable. You age very well.
Well
there's something at Lake Anna that just like a fountain of youth up there, man.
Yeah, and good genes, I think, my folks.
That could be it.
Yeah.
So you've been retired now for almost 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Do me a favor. I don't want any of this to come across like I'm making assumptions.
Okay.
But I've had conversations with some other people, and my father's been retired, and I've worked with a couple of men who've gone into retirement. I know that there's a chance that some of them face kind of a sense of, well, what now? Like, what's my purpose? Do I matter? Where's my significance if I'm not working?
Yeah, yeah.
So you've now had about a decade. Did you have that? Did you kind of head into retirement with that question in your mind?
No. I looked forward to retirement for a long time. So obviously I was very optimistic and very happy to have a chance to retire. And I'll tell you, I as good as I thought it was. It's way better than that.
Good.
I almost hesitate to talk to workers about how good it's going to be when they retire. You know,
it's like, oh man, I got like 30 or 40 years to go.
I don't want to tell them how good it is. They'll be so jealous. But one of the things, I think the most significant thing for me about retirement was that there were so many things that I would say, yeah, I don't have time to do that. I'm working, you know? And so really, and my wife and I retired just about the same time, but when we did this after we had moved to Lake Anna for about a year. But when I retired, I just thought, okay, we gotta fill my time with something. My challenge as a salesman was always, I gotta have somewhere to go. I gotta have somebody to talk to, you know?
Yeah.
So we looked around for volunteer work.
Yeah.
And we've been able to fill our time with really good, substantial volunteer work.
Yeah.
And of course, Lake Anna and the fishing was also part of that, but that's not part of our talk today. So it was never what do I do with myself? It's like, look at all the opportunities we have to do stuff that I can choose what I want to do, and I can choose as much of it as I want to get involved in. And so it's been great. And I'll tell you, second half was there, and I joined Covenant Woods, and then I thought West End would certainly benefit from this. So yeah, every week I'm in Richmond with second half, either at Covenant Woods or WEAG.
Yeah. And
so it's just an example of some of the things I've done. But there's so much to do in retirement that, I mean, I could fill my days completely, you know?
Yeah.
And then there's grass to cut and all this stuff at home. Wow. So,
you know, it's still the rat race.
Let's not overdo it, you know. I mean,
Well, and just to give context, so second half is actually kind of a ministry that branched off from Needle's Eye, and we still have this really great partnership, but it's specific to men in retirement.
Correct.
And your role, I know you're chair of the board for second half. You also, like you said, you mentioned Covenant Woods and WEAG, which are essentially kind of two locations where small groups of men meet, and you actually help lead a chapter. You lead the WEAG chapter,
right?
And you're
right.
A small group leader for the Covenant Woods chapter.
Correct.
So you know, you say you fill your time. It's not like you're just driving to Richmond. You are still leading things. You are still providing wisdom and insight and experience to other men in retirement and forming, I'm assuming, meaningful community and relationship.
Yes, well good.
And I just think, you know, to flesh it out, so when you say things like second half, people know what we're talking about.
Sure. No, I see it.
But yeah, so you transitioned into retirement with joy and excitement,
right?
And you feel like, man, I if anything, I'm leaning more into my purpose and my significance than I was before, because I have time to go where God wants me to go, or where my interests are, where my wife and I can spend time together. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah. Another example that I think God brings opportunities to us that before I just had to say I can't do it.
Yeah.
But we had gone through in second half a study of experiencing God.
Yeah.
An awesome book. So I was telling somebody out at our church. I got this little Baptist church in Lake Anna that I go to. And I shared the book. I was telling about the book, and she said, oh my gosh, that sounds so good. I said, well, I got one in my car. So I gave her the book. Well, the next week she comes back, she's, what a great book.
Oh, wow.
What a great book. You ought to start a book study. She has a way of doing that.
Yeah, so, she volunteered you.
Well, you know, and I thought to myself, we've been through the study, but it is a great book, and it's very basic Christianity. Mm-hmm. And so we started talking, and we had like eight people, and we thought, let's do the book study of experiencing God.
Yeah.
Well, we started out with eight. Turned out we had 32 over a period of time.
32 individuals. Okay. 32, I was like, man, 32 couples.
We don't have 32 couples in our whole church.
Oh, so fair enough. Okay.
In fact, that 32 is probably 75% of those that are active in the church.
Yeah.
But it started with the eight people. You know, going from home to home, and we just got so big, we ended up meeting now at the church. But that's been going on now for 5 years, maybe. But there was an opportunity that that just came to me. I didn't instigate it at all. It just came to me. But I had the time to say, you know, I can do that.
Yeah.
And with my experience through Needle's Eye and getting involved in a Bible study with Needle's Eye, I felt like there was a chance I might be successful being able to lead the group, you know?
Yeah.
And it just worked. So that's all awesome. Of a sudden, my experience gave me the confidence to say, I can do this. And the Lord brought the opportunity. I just said, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And you were
available. And I would never have been able to do that if I'd say, I'm working. I just don't have the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there you go. That's a great example of that.
That is.
Just the, God brings the opportunities and got the time to do it. So,
yeah. Well, so with that, how did you measure success, accomplishment, you know, whatever kind of language you want to put to it when you were working? What was your measure of
quotas.
Success?
Quotas.
Okay. Yeah.
Salespeople have quotas, you know? And yeah, that was the big thing. And I have to say, I was never that great. I always felt like I was trying to do the best I could for my customer. I have to say that. I never thought it's better for me than it is for him or her. I always at least had that feeling that what can I do? What do I owe the customer? But I was never a tremendously good salesman. I mean, I look back and just say, I was okay. You know, I managed to survive halfway decent, you know.
Yeah.
But quotas were always a big part of that. And so.
And to be fair, you said you look back and you go, I was never tremendously successful or tremendously. That may be the case from the, you know, numbers, metrics
right,
side.
The quotas.
But I bet your clients who are going, Tony is truly doing what's best for me. Tony is serving me.
I think
right?
they sense that.
I think that's a level of success. Again, it may not be how the job
sure.
measured it.
No, I agree. I felt that they knew that.
Yeah.
You know. You know. But anyway, it was a good career. I had some great opportunities, and it just worked out. And then retirement came. It was great.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned earlier how there were certain things you faced, and I don't know if it was job transitions or just rough patches along the way, but that you wish you would have had more of a faith back then. Do you have any kind of general ideas or examples?
I don't know if it was that I was lacking the faith. It's just that I got to a point where I experienced the faith and then thought, well, if we got time.
Yeah, by all means.
In my sales career, I was with WRVA for 8 years and just loved it. But some things happened. There was an economy breakdown or whatever. I left WRVA willingly. And for a while, I struggled. I just went from job to job. It seemed good. One of the issues with sales is you can always get them because they're always available, but they always, well. So I really struggled for a while because it seemed like I got a job and then it didn't work. And I got another job and it didn't work. I was really struggling with that. And I have a friend, let's put it that way. I have a friend who was an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And he was at rock bottom. And he told me that there was no way he could have worked it out without turning it over to God and just saying, God, I can't do this. You know, well, I thought to myself, you know what? I'm not an alcoholic, but I have to admit, I can't do this.
Yeah,
I'm really struggling. I can't do this, and I just said, Lord, I need some help.
Yeah,
and this was funny because so many times you would hear people say, oh, turn it over to the Lord, and you sit back and say, okay. God, do your thing. And I'm thinking, that's not right.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that's the way it's supposed to work. You know? So I told God, I said, Lord, I need your help. I can't do this. I felt I was flat on my back.
Yeah.
And I said, I'll tell you what, you help me with that and I will do what I can for you. Mm. And one of the things you'll appreciate this because you came from WEAG. I went to WEAG and I had taken the spiritual gifts survey.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so I go to, and this was through the Career Transition Group.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Great. I got a, in fact, I was a several time graduate of that group. Anyway, I went to West End and I said to Pastor Martin, I said, look, I know my spiritual gift is hospitality, and I want to volunteer my services in any way I can to this church. And he said, hey, great, we need greeters.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is great. So he said, all you have to do is greet people at the door. And I thought, well, I got my wife involved. She and I were greeters. We did that for probably 10 years.
Wow.
And I met a lot of people and all this stuff. But the point was, what it gave me was peace.
Yeah.
Because what I said, I fully felt that I could say to God, I'm going to do all I can for you. I'm going to reach out and do, I'm going to talk to people and do whatever I can do for you in exchange for you helping me. And I believe you can do this.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that was most impacted to me was how peaceful I felt, because then going into an interview, all of a sudden I'm thinking, I'm here, but Lord, you're in charge of this, because I'm turning this over to you. I was so relaxed. I thought, if the interview goes well, that's great. But if it doesn't go well, that's okay too, because this isn't where the Lord wants me to be.
Yeah.
And
that's beautiful.
The peace that I had from that was unbelievable. And I truly believe I ended up finding a wonderful job that was perfectly suited for me at Averett University.
Yeah.
And I certainly thank God for the opportunity that he provided, but it was the peace. And that's, if somebody said to me, what does faith mean to you, Tony? I'd say peace.
Yeah.
Because I've turned my life over to God and just said, Lord, just show me where you want me to go, because you're in charge and I'm at peace.
Yeah.
And I truly believe if I had to go tomorrow,
it's
like, okay, that's fine. That's his.
Yeah.
That's his deal. That's his plan for me. And if you want me to do some stuff, just let me know and I'll try to do it the best I can.
Yeah.
But peace is what...
There are a few things.
And going back to this work, if I had had that through my career...
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. That kind of peace and that confidence.
The thing was, I Buddy Childress helped me with this through Bible study. I after a long time of going through these meetings of Bible study, I had never grown up with a Bible.
Mm.
And all of a sudden I kept hearing this thing, we're not saved by works, we're saved by grace. And I thought, and I can remember the day that I thought, I got it.
Yeah, it finally clicks.
Finally in my head, I got it, you know? But what a, that's part of the peace, you know?
You know,
the relationship.
There are a few things you said that I want to kind of touch back on, because I think they're really wonderful. But, you know, part of what you're talking about is this idea of like, okay, God, I'm going to do whatever you want from me, right? I'll make myself completely available to you, God. And ultimately what that manifested in was being a greeter. And I bring that up because I think some people, when they make that bargain, they think it's going to be this massive thing. I'm going to sell my business and move to Africa.
Right. Yeah.
And maybe that's possible. Who knows what God is going to ask of you, but it doesn't have to be. And what you stepped into can, from outside looking in, can seem like insignificant, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm standing at a door and I'm shaking people's hands.
Yeah.
And yet, that is what God had for you. That's what he wanted from you. And you did it obediently. You did it willingly.
Yeah.
You did it for a decade.
Yeah.
And a part of that, you're saying, is by stepping into the thing God had for me, which didn't give me the limelight, it didn't make me, you know, the center of attention, I was there solely to serve.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And just through that, you were able to find a peace and a confidence that was outside of yourself. It wasn't about your circumstance anymore. It was, well, I trust in God because he's going to take care of this. And that allowed you to experience peace in the face of rejection or in the face of uncertainty. And I just think that is profound. And I think that's something that a lot of people kind of struggle with, of like, no, I want God to use me in really big ways.
Oh, yeah.
It's not really about what you want God to do.
No.
It's about what God wants you
to
do.
Not at all. Well, and two, I mean, when I was in the Bible study, they quit. We disbanded because one guy moved to Florida, another guy went wherever. And so I went back to Lisa at Needle's Eye, and I said, Lisa, I'm out of this Bible study and I really want to stay in something. Can you help me? And then she said, well, why don't you start a Bible study?
Yeah.
And I said, well, I can't do that. I don't know a thing about the Bible. She said, well, Ken Banks is also looking for one. And I think the two of you could share. I thought, well, okay, I can do that. So we ended up doing that. So the point is, what took place was this little bit here and a little bit there, but all of it was adding to my experience to where, like, when I got to Lake Anna and this girl said, you want to start a book study? I thought, I can do that. I did that before. So it was the little things. I totally agree with that. But and with the book study, it's like this little thing of four couples, and the next thing you know, there's 30 people in the church.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it's like, who knew? Who would have known that?
Yeah, and I don't mean to put insignificant, like it didn't have relevance. My point is, it can seem from the outside like this is such a small thing. It's not what God wants for me. It's not big enough. But if it's what God has for you, it's because there's a purpose to it, and there is significance behind it, even if we don't necessarily see it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah. I certainly agree with that. You don't look for the big thing. You just look for what he's telling you to do.
Yeah,
You want me to do that? No.
Yeah. Well, and then you also talked about the moment that it clicked for you that, you know, we're saved by grace, not by works.
It just, because I was brought up, you know, thinking good people go to heaven and bad people go to hell, sure. And I hope I'm good enough, you know? And that's the way it was. And then all of a sudden I thought, oh my gosh, imagine that.
Yeah.
I couldn't earn it if I wanted to, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I sat in actually on a second half group and the conversation was on, did you grow up believing, you know, you had to perform your way to heaven or that it was really about grace?
Yeah, right.
And it was astounding to me, one, how honest and vulnerable those men were, but also how many of them said, I had no context for grace. Nobody ever taught me about grace. My whole life, I thought it was, I have to be better, and I have to be really good, and I have to do all these things, or else God's going to be angry or give up on me, or yada.
Yeah, sure.
And it's just amazing how when you can grasp the sense that I am saved by God's grace alone. Right. He did the work for me. I can't earn it. I can't be worthy of it. I can't make myself saved. I am completely dependent on God. Right. The freedom and the liberation that comes from that, which I think you described it as, there's peace. Oh. There's peace in, it's not really up to me. Jesus did it on my behalf.
Right.
And so I can go into job interviews and, hey, if I don't get it, I'm still saved by grace. Jesus still did it for me. So I'll keep trying. I'll do my part.
Oh, yeah.
But I can trust that this is in God's hands.
Right.
Yeah. You've hit on so many
things. Well, and again, like I say, if I had had that from early in my career, I mean, just that whole idea that God can direct you if you're willing to listen and to obey.
Yeah.
I mean, it just can change everything. Because the peace is it. That's what I have.
Yeah.
Anyway, people talk about worrying about this one.
I was going to say,
there's no worry.
The world is a fascinating place. And particularly nowadays, it seems like everybody's concerned.
Sure.
And to be a presence of peace, you know, for you to be able to walk in
and say, it's a struggle sometimes.
I'm sure.
Especially with the political stuff going on.
Well,
you know?
Exactly. But to be a peaceful presence in the midst of that.
Well, and even that, I thought, Lord, you're in control of all this, you know, and you read about, okay, we're supposed to honor our government, we're supposed to honor our leaders, even though we don't agree with them or whatever. Sure. And that's a little hard to swallow sometimes. But
sure. But
at the same time, it's like, hey, God's got this. I don't understand all of it, but at least it's peaceful.
Yeah.
You know, and as long as I feel like I'm aligned with what God wants me to do or staying as aligned as I can be, I can deal with anything.
Yeah. So you look at your life now, right, and you always kind of approached your business and sales even from a perspective of how do I best serve the customer? Not how do I get the best deal? How do I get the best commission? How do I best serve my customer?
Yeah.
How do you approach, what is your view, or how do you measure success, work, accomplishment now that you're, you know, 10 years removed from working on behalf of a company, and now it's really just about what you and God are doing?
Yeah, I think just staying active, as I say, looking for opportunities to stay busy up at Lake Anna, and just finding things that are worthwhile to do. Mm. You know, I mean, like there's an operation up there called Rural Love, and it's much like a Goodwill.
Okay.
You know, people donate, and then they sell them very cheaply to community.
Well, so like a thrift store kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a thrift store, okay. Yeah. But it's become massive, and people donate, and we sell them for, I mean, you buy shirts for 50 cents. We have one guy, he continues to come in and buy slacks and shirts, and we found out that he discovered that it was cheaper for him to come in and buy clothing than it was to go to the laundromat and wash the clothes that he had. Because it was more expensive at the laundromat than to just come to roll
up.
Oh,
that's fascinating.
So the whole idea is all of the money that we generate stays right in the community of Louisa. You know? So I'm there every Wednesday from 7 till 1, you know, doing that. My wife does it 2 days. She has more time to do that stuff while I'm doing second half, whatever. But, I mean, it's things like that to where I just think, okay, I'm still doing my husbandly duties, you know, around the house and that sort of thing. But the spare time I have, much of it at least, I can say, is truly trying to do something worthwhile in the community, you know? And I don't think of it much like you were saying, how do you measure success? But if I were to think about it, I'd say I'm still looking for opportunities, but I think I'm spending my time wisely. You know, that I think God would say, you're doing okay.
That's good. I think that's awesome.
Well,
you know, I know we've talked a couple of times, and you've now mentioned to me a few times that you've had these really great, you know, God is real kind of visceral experiences. You know, experiences that I'm sure if you had had them when you were younger would have profoundly affected your life in some ways.
Right.
But it's not too late now. You know, he's still proving himself to you today.
Absolutely,
Can you share some of those experiences?
I guess the first time that I could say I had a God moment was years ago when I was going through the thoughts of having to get a divorce. I had two girls. They were 4 and 6 at the time.
Okay.
I love those kids dearly. I love them today. And I thought, I just can't leave those kids. But my wife and I just were two opposites. And anyway, so I had moved out of the house. I'm over at my brother's house. Thank God. He was single and lived in a house. And I thought, great, at least I got a place I can be. And I remember having talked to my wife, and we just knew, or at least I knew, this is not working. I don't know what to do. So I remember she left. I'm sitting in my bed, and I'm sitting up, and I'm thinking, Lord, I don't know what to do. I mean, tears coming down my eyes. I was wiped out because I just didn't know how to deal with this. And I remember just suddenly, it was like oil, warm oil.
Oh, wow.
Comes down over my head, and I literally could feel it moving down over my shoulders. And just this, it wasn't a voice so much, but just, Tony, it's going to be all right. But I felt this idea of peace or calm. It just, it's going to be okay. And I thought, there's just no other place I could be than God in my life. No other way. But that was about all that took place. But and I went through the divorce. But that was the first time that I really sensed that, hey, there's a real connection here between me. There's nobody else that would do that except God Himself, you know. But one of the really most dramatic was at WEAG, Russ McDowell goes to Guatemala. Well, I had gone to Katrina, Sandra and I had gone down to Katrina. That was the only mission trip I'd ever done. And we went down there to help out. But since then, I kept, you know, and WEAG was very much into mission trips. But nothing clicked to where I'd say, oh, I need to do that. So we went on the men's outing down at the James River, you know, and I saw Russ. This was on a Friday. I saw Russ there, and I didn't have a chance to say hello to him. But that night, I slept in my car. I didn't have a tent or anything. It was a disaster. I was up all night. But during that night, all I kept hearing were just God talking to me, saying, you got to talk to Russ about going to Guatemala. I thought, oh, man. So I just heard it over and over again. And I thought, okay. So the next morning, I find Russ, and I say, Russ, God told me I'm supposed to talk to you about going to Guatemala. So he started, he said, well, listen, this is not a good place to talk about, but I'll tell you what, why don't we have coffee next week or something? So we did. We got together for coffee. So it was the funniest thing, because he's saying to me, well, look, I go by myself. I deliver these glasses and stuff and show, you know, and he says, look, it's not easy because I get up so early in the morning that there's no restaurants open or anything. We're just snacking, snack food, whatever. We're out all day and we're running from village to village. And then we come back. And when we come back, it's too late at night. And so you can't eat. And I said, Russ, God told me I'm supposed to go with you.
Yeah.
He said, yeah, but another thing, it's really, the weather's bad and you might get this. I said, Russ.
Trying to talk you out of it.
I said, Russ, God told me I'm supposed to come and do that. You know, so it was so clear to me. I'm thinking, we're wasting time talking about this because God told me to go.
Yeah.
Well, then he said, look, thanks. I know you're interested in them. Thank you for that. But West End itself is putting together a Guatemala trip. And it's a construction trip, and it might be a little better for you because you're doing what you feel like you're called to do, but you don't have to go with me and be, you know.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, I'll check that out. Well, I did, and it made sense for me to go with the group.
Sure.
So we get there on a Saturday. We get all settled. Sunday morning, we go to church, and then we go to work. And my job was to help knock down a cinder block wall and begin the reconstruction of the wall and to expand it. That was our function there. Well, for 3 hours, 4 hours, I'm knocking down cinder blocks. The good ones I put over here, the bad ones I put over there.
Yeah.
I do all that for a couple of hours. That night, I am laying in bed and my back is killing
me. Yeah.
And I can't sleep.
That's hard work.
Right in here. Just so I'm up all night. So then I wake up the next morning and I'm total pain. I can hardly walk. And I'm sitting up in my bed, on the edge of the bed, and I'm saying, Lord, you told me you wanted to come to Guatemala. Here I am, and I'm at work for 3 hours. This is Sunday, and I got the whole week to go, and I can't hardly walk.
Uh-huh.
What's going on? And I'm in tears.
Yeah.
I because I hurt, but also because I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah.
What in the world did he tell me to come for? So anyway, I get up. I'm up now, and I thought, I'll go down there and wait for breakfast to go. So I walked down to where the main place was where we ate, and Hector, the guy, the missionary that's there, he said, well, Tony, hey, good to see you. How's your sleep? I said, Hector, I am dying. my back. He said, let me pray for you.
Yeah.
So he put his arm around me. He prayed for my healing. I said, thank you. I go over, I find a nice little chair. I sat down in a chair. I thought, oh, man, I'm dying. So anyway, maybe 10 or 15 minutes later, when the rest of them showed up and says, okay, let's all gather around the table and we'll say the blessing and we'll have breakfast.
Yeah.
I stood up. Not a hint of pain.
Wow.
Nothing.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, how in the world? You tell me, what else could it be?
Yeah.
God did that.
Right.
I get up, and I'm thinking, okay, this is great. Well, they took, you know, said, Tony, don't overdo anything. You know, we'll give you some other easy job to do or whatever. I spent the whole week without any pain at all.
Wow.
The whole week. And then at the end, I thought, I'm going to test him.
Yeah, always a wise move.
So there's this big pile of dirt that we're supposed to move from one place to another.
Yeah.
Shovel, wheelbarrow, shovel. I thought, if my back's going to hurt, that'll do it, you know. I did that, not a bit of pain. I had no pain the whole rest of the time.
Yeah.
And I totally, absolutely claim that as a miracle.
Absolutely.
And God just saying, now the funny thing is, I've had that back pain again.
Of course.
And this time,
it's tough.
I had to go to a specialist.
Yeah, there you go.
Weeks, you know? And so it proved to me, it says, when God wants to do something, he does it. And at his time, if he decides, no, I'm not going to help you this time, then okay, I gotta take the, but there's an, it's just God knows who I am.
Yeah.
And he cares for me and he loves me and I know it. And this stuff about, I wonder what would happen if I died or is there anything? And I'm saying, God's waiting for you.
Yeah.
God's got a place for you. And again, the peace to know that.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I love the way that, you know, all these stories that you have, these experiences, but to come down to, God knows who I am. Like just the personal nature, the significance of personal, just being able to say, the God of the universe knows who I
right.
am.
And praying then is, hey, you know, it's like me talking to you.
Yeah.
You know, it's not this thing up there.
Right.
This is God himself. This is Jesus. And I can talk to him.
Yeah.
And say, I really need your help. Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know.
But in your time and in your way.
Well, yeah, of course. But even to draw that out, the idea that, you know, God cared enough that when you were in the midst of figuring out, am I supposed to, you know, go through this divorce? Or can I survive this? What's going to happen with my girls? All of that. God showed up in a personal way.
Absolutely.
To give you a peace and a comfort and to be able to speak to you and say, listen, I got you.
Yeah.
Then to fast forward to you're on a mission trip, which of course, you know, that's a holy ministry moment and everything. But you know, you hurt your back because you overexerted yourself. And yet God cared enough to say, you're gonna shovel dirt, which doesn't sound like a lot, but you're gonna shovel dirt and I'm gonna make sure you can do it.
Yeah,
he cared enough to show up in that moment. Now take that and apply it to anything. It can be sales, it can be education, it can be any number of work things, and to say, God knows who you are and he cares about the task before you.
Right.
And he will help equip you and keep you prepared.
Well, another thing too is that I felt that the reason that God sent me to Guatemala was to experience that miracle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you think back, okay, why did I go?
Mm-hmm.
And what was the real significance? And I'm totally sure, not only that, but that I can share that miracle with other people, you know, and say, there is a God and he knows who you are.
Right.
So I think the real takeaway from that was this idea. It's just another confirmation to me personally that there is a God.
Yeah.
And just a reminder, you know, but I think that's why he sent me to one. Obviously, I chipped in a little bit, so nobody would say, look at all the work you did, you know.
Yeah, of course.
I'm just doing my little thing.
Sure.
But the main thing was coming away from that with that miracle that I can share with other people and say, there's no way that you're going to convince me that there was any other explanation for that.
Right.
You know what I mean? There was God at work.
Yeah.
Period.
Well, so, and here's one of the things I love about it, because my guess is that was many years ago. Yeah, you know, this wasn't 6 months ago. This is probably 10, 15 years ago. It's the memory of those moments where God has shown up for you. And you, still now, you know, however many years later, look back and say, I know God is faithful because he did it back then.
Sure.
And
oh,
there's,
yeah.
There's, you look at scripture, you look at the Old Testament, how many times God says, I'm the God who brought you out of Egypt. I'm the God who got you through the Red Sea. And he keeps kind of appealing to the memory of, I've been faithful before. Mm-hmm. You can put your faith in me to be faithful again.
Yeah.
And even now, right, here you are, you're in a different stage of life. You're retired, you're remarried, you got all these other things going on. And because of your memory of how God came through in the past, you still have the faith that he'll constantly come through again.
Total.
And I think there's such a significance to that memory, such a significance to remembering who God is and what he has done. And that gives us the faith and the confidence and the peace to move forward.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I certainly expect that he'll continue to be there.
Yeah. Well, so speaking of, you know, you've got a future. Right? You've got a future. Second half, the whole point of it is we're not done yet, right?
That's it.
We've gotten through half, but there's a second half still to go. So when you're looking forward, you're looking at the future before you, there's uncertainty. Who knows what's going to happen? Who knows how long?
Sure.
Where do you see God calling you to, or what do you see God calling you to during that time?
I don't see a specific calling like those times.
Sure.
Because those were, I mean, absolute. Tony, go to Guatemala. Tony, dude. But knowing that he does that, then I have the patience to say, okay, when you're ready, I'm here.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I really feel like I need to say that to him. Well, all you've done for me, okay, if you need me and you tell me to do this, I will do it.
Yeah.
You know, and it could be a simple little thing like the woman saying, you ought to start a book today. You know, it's like, it's not this voice coming down, but it's somebody inviting me to do something. There's something going on right now that, what was it? Oh, just the strange feeling that I had. We were giving blood a month or so ago, and then they sent out a note for platelet donors who are B positive, which I am. And so they sent me a note and said, we desperately need this. And I thought, well, gee whiz, I've given blood and whatever. But I really thought to myself, here is something that is needed. Mm. And whether I decide that it's a call from God or not, doesn't matter. It's just the idea. I made a commitment to myself. I said, they need my help and I can do it. And so I made an appointment to do it next week.
Yeah.
And there were easy enough ways to get around it or what, or just to ignore it.
Sure.
But I just thought, all right, these are the things that God does in a little way, you know, what difference is it going to make if I give blood or not, you know? But I just felt like, all right, that was something that God has called me to do, and I just need to do it. And it's not a big deal, but it's something that I should do.
Yeah.
And those sort of things I feel is being contributed by God.
Yeah.
You know, that he's just directing me to those little things that gather together to make me the best follower I can be.
Yeah. Well, and I love so much of what you've described is you essentially, you know, you're available. You haven't so planned out retirement, or you haven't so decided, well, now's my time to do what I want. And I've already know how I'm going to spend my time, you know, golf course, TV shows, what you are looking at and saying, okay, God, I have time. I'm available. What do you have for me next? And maybe it's giving blood. Maybe it's leading a book study. Maybe it's being in second half and taking over as chair of the board. But the point is, you don't look at the time you now have as a commodity for you to control. You look at it as a resource for God to control. And so you're looking at it and going, okay.
I never thought of it that way, but I totally agree with
that. Well, and I just think that is such a phenomenal way to redeem the time.
Well, I mean, yeah, I just feel that I owe him, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of it. Okay, you have done so much for me. What do you want from me?
Yeah.
I owe you.
Yeah.
I do. I feel that way.
That's great.
Yeah.
So in all of this, and, you know, we'll start heading towards a close here and let you kind of share a couple of more thoughts. What have you learned, or what have you experienced with God over the past couple of years that you were just, you know, man, I wish that I could just go back in time and have lived with this?
You mean what I learned now that I wish I had learned?
Previous, yeah. You know, like if Tony Wilson could go back 30 years and say, listen, trust me.
Tony Wilson was by himself for 30 years. Tony Wilson isn't by himself anymore.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? That's the easiest way I can describe it. I was on my own. I made my own decisions. I did everything I could myself, as most of us all do.
Yeah.
You know, but to think now that when I have issues like that, or things come up, I really believe, okay, let me see what the Lord's asking me to do here. Let me pray about it. One of the things I found out, one of the books we had was the Disciplines. I forget what the
Celebration of Disciplines.
That's what it was. And one of the things in there was meditation. And I had never tried meditation before. And I thought, well, I'll try that. But here's another thing. See, I looked at it as a challenge. Here are some disciplines we ought to try. So we did it this week, and then we had 2 weeks before we go back to the next one. I'm thinking, okay, for those 2 weeks, you try that discipline.
Yeah.
So I go back to the group, and I say, well, tell me, you guys, what has been your experience with meditation? And not a word.
Nothing, yeah.
But anyway, I tried it, as a good leader would do. You know, if I'm going to ask you to do it, I'll do it. So... And first time I did it, I fell asleep.
Yeah, that's fair. I've been there.
Okay, yeah. But the thing was that I really got a lot out of it. And I could just sense that one time they say to hold your hands out like this, you know, be open.
Yeah.
Lord, I'm open to whatever. And I could feel... I just sort of felt like my hands were just coming closer together like this. And I thought, what's that? And I had this image of grabbing a book.
Mm.
And it just said to me, okay, I need for you to stay in the Word more.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. So I think what I see now that I didn't see then was this idea that God is with me.
Yeah.
God talks to me. He does. I don't hear his words, you know, but there's things like that. It's an encouragement to do meditation, or it's an encouragement to do this, just that sense that I'm being led.
Yeah.
You know, go over here, go over there, or why don't you check this out? Or one of the things at Rural Love that we do, there's people that obviously need prayer there. You know, like somebody hobbling along and got a cast on or whatever, and it's been interesting that I feel led sometimes to say, can I pray for you?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Oh, gosh, I got a funny story. I'm sorry. I don't know how long this is going on.
You're
I'm
good.
Having a ball.
You got it. You're the
I
guest
was in
of
a bank.
Today,
listen though. To it. Well, and so all of the things that come together with the book study, the Bible study, the second half, all of this is keeping me in the Word, keeping me connected with my effort to stay tuned into God by all these different things. So I go into a bank one day, and I'm behind this woman who is obviously having a real hard time talking to the teller. But it's she's sharing a personal thing of some kind, and you could just tell that the teller, I don't see the woman's face, but I see the teller's face, and it's like, oh man, really sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
And so they finish, and the woman leaves, and I go up to the teller, and so I do my thing. I turn around, and there's the woman, and she's sitting, and I'm thinking, okay, she's waiting for somebody or whatever. So I start to walk out the door, and I think, I ought to pray for her.
Yeah.
So I get to the door, and this little voice says, Tony, go back. Go back. Yeah. So I turned around, and I went back, and I came over, and I said, I can see that you're really troubled. Is there something wrong? Or, you know, whatever. She said, I've got this medical exam. I don't remember what it was, but she was saying they don't know what's wrong with me.
Yeah.
You know? And I said, do you mind if I pray for you? And she said, okay. So whatever prayer I prayed, I'm not that good at that anymore. Anyway, so when I finished, she said, are you a preacher?
Yeah.
And I said, no, I'm just a Christian trying to do what God tells me to do. And she said, well, imagine that a Christian praying for a Jewish woman.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And praise God. So that was his little gift to me, you know. But it was so neat.
Yeah.
And then I thought, who knows what that's going to mean to her? You know.
Yeah.
But the real issue was I was praying to hear that nobody seems to know what's wrong. And I thought, God, please, somebody figure it out.
Yeah.
You know.
Absolutely.
So it was a genuine prayer. But the idea that I almost left.
Right.
But that little voice was calling me back, saying, hey, come on, this is what you're supposed to do.
And learning to
so that was the thing. I would never have done that years ago.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it just, and I guess too, again, it's almost like, even if you think you're going to get in trouble, who cares? Because God told you to do that.
Right.
You know what I mean? You don't stop and think, oh man, if I do that, I'm going to make a fool of myself.
Right.
How am I going to pray? What do I say? Whatever. It's like, just do it.
Yeah.
You know, and God will take care of you. So all those things, just go into this wonderful, peaceful realization that God's in my life and we got this personal relationship.
Yeah.
And so what do I have to worry about?
Yeah. I love the theme of peace just keeps coming up.
And with all the things that go on, and I mean, good grief, I'm just one of the millions and millions of workers that deal with this kind of crap every day, you know, in their job, whatever they're doing, you know, it's like struggle, and what do I do here, what do I do there, and I'm thinking to myself, if I had the peace that I have now, you know, that at least the Lord is right there with me, and He'll guide me, and He'll give me peace, and He'll tell me it's going to be all right. Boy, what a difference.
Yeah.
It really, really, what a difference.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Tony, thank you.
I was just going to say, plus, who knows what He may have directed me to do that I had no clue about.
Absolutely.
Who knows where I would be today if in my 20s or 30s or 40s that I was listening to Him.
Yeah. Yeah,
who
absolutely.
Knows?
Yeah.
Don't know.
Well, Tony, this has been wonderful. I mean, hearing these stories, hearing you share the examples.
Do I have to quit now?
I'm sure you can just going with more and more things.
Nobody ever wants to hear this stuff, so I'm having
I'll listen to you any day, any day. No, I just want to say thank you. This was
It's been a joy for me. And again, it's just saying, all right, Lord, I'm supposed to say yes, so yeah. Here I am. So
that's awesome.
That's fine.
Well, thank you. And really, the thought of peace, the theme of peace, and have that something you found.
Awesome.
And man, if only you could have had that earlier. I think that is something that is a personal challenge and conviction for me.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Thank you for sharing.
Peace. Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in to the Needle's Eye Faith and Work Show. Please share, like, and subscribe if you enjoyed this episode and want to see more. Needle's Eye is a faith and work community based in Richmond, Virginia. We are a nonprofit organization that seeks to help working people grow in Christ, find purpose, and transform the marketplace. Check out Needle's Eye online at www.needleseye.org. Here, you can find more content, check out upcoming in-person events, and learn more about partnering with us financially.